Leadership is about believing in yourself when no one believes in, especially when no one believes in you. Real leadership is about having this glorious vision for your future that people around you disbelieve because it threatens them because it's so vivid, powerful, and magical. You know, you know your dream is a good dream when people say it's a foolish dream.
Stand by.
3, 2, 1. The following program comes from executive producer Lillian Garcia. Every athlete is on this quest. Every performer experiences real life challenges, defeats, and sacrifices in an effort to make their dreams reality. Singer, speaker, and 15-year WWE host Lillian Garcia was the first woman to ever announce WrestleMania and continues to make history as the in-cage announcer for the Professional Fighters League. Oh, yeah! And now she's giving you an all-access pass to the human interest stories of elite athletes, extraordinary entertainers, and entrepreneurs. Now, let's embark on another fascinating journey of chasing glory with your host, Lillian Garcia.
Welcome, everybody, to Chasing Glory. I am Lillian Garcia, and can you see how happy I am? We are back. Well, it kind of looks a little different, but let me explain this to you. We just got off an amazing 10-part series, as you know, on the WWE Network. And thanks to you and my amazing guests, it was extremely, extremely successful. Well, before we go into a brand new season, we wanted to get together, my team and I, my amazing team, and bring you something from the vault. Because sometimes you have to go back in order to move forward. And what we mean by that is 2020 had some incredible lessons. And then we started thinking about 2019 and 2018 and 2017. And the list goes on because Chasing Glory is now entering its 5th year. That's right, 5 incredible years. So you know we've had incredible lessons and incredible guests along the way. By going back and listening to some of the past interviews, you're going to be getting these gems that you might have missed the first time around, but you can apply them now into your life here in 2021. And what's so exciting is that going into the vault, we found some never before seen footage. Now, this is raw footage. This is when we were talking about moving Chasing Glory from audio into video. My team and I were experimenting, so we literally would put an iPad on a tripod. And when we were in these interview spaces, and some of them were just closets backstage at Monday Night Raw or SmackDown or other locations, we would just put that iPad and capture the video. Well, now as we're showing you the evolution of Chasing Glory, because Chasing Glory has also evolved, we felt like it was important to show you that evolution. So you will be getting to see some of that raw footage. Guys, it's also going to be fun to see how the superstars have evolved, what they were thinking mentally at the time of their interview to now where they are. We can all learn from each other and apply it to our current situations so that we can inspire each other and really, really succeed in our lives. All right, what's exciting too in this 18-part CG Classics series is that it's going to be twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays. And we're going to be bringing you not only WWE superstars, but also other athletes, wellness coaches, and entrepreneurs. These are people that are really opening up their lives to help you. So spread the word and spread this word. It's still for free. You can find it on youtube.com/Lillian Garcia and also download it wherever you get your podcast. And for some fun games, that's right, we're going to have some fun games. You can go to @ChasingGlory on Instagram where we're also going to have some prizes. You can follow me @LillianGarcia on Instagram and Twitter and Lillian Garcia official fan page on Facebook. For everything Chasing Glory, just go to chasingglory.com. chasinggloria.com. All right, guys, make sure you subscribe to the show, rate, and review. We love, love, love to read your reviews. And thank you for that continued 5-star rating. Get fired up, because it's going to continue to be real, raw, and inspiring with this CG Classic Series. Robin Sharma is living proof that there is nothing wrong with finding a new passion after not being satisfied with your current life. Born in Uganda to a physician and a teacher, Robin's family would find themselves in Canada after the Ugandan president would expel South Asians from the country. In Canada, Robin would excel in high school and would easily transition to college, where he majored in biology with a minor in romantic poetry. After he ended up obtaining a law degree and became a successful litigator working at the Department of Justice in Ottawa, he looked himself in the mirror and he was unsatisfied with the person that was staring back at him. He decided to begin channeling his energy into reading and began learning about the teachings of Thomas Edison and Nelson Mandela. This led him to being inspired to write a book himself and would actually self-publish it by printing it at a local copy shop. While his first book didn't set the world ablaze, it did pave the way for his second book, which certainly did. Robin self-published The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, a spiritual fable about fulfilling your dreams and reaching your destiny, which would catch the eye of one of the biggest publishers in the entire world and led him to leave his career as a lawyer. He would continue to publish many more books, which have been translated to over 75 different languages and have been published in over 75 countries. He is an international best-selling author, selling more than 15 million copies of his books. Robin has captivated millions with his leadership qualities. For nearly 20 years now, many of the most well-known organizations on the planet, ranging from Nike, GE, Microsoft, FedEx and Oracle to NASA and Yale University, they've chosen Robin for their most important events when nothing less than a world-class speaker will do. His social media posts reach over 600 million people a year, and Robin has been ranked as one of the top 5 leadership experts in the world. Robin is also very passionate about giving back and started the Robin Sharma Foundation for Children, where he raises funds from all over the world and donates them to children's causes to help them live happier and healthier lives. The global impact that Robin has had is undeniable, and he has no plans of stopping. It's about to get real, raw, and inspiring with Robin Sharma.
All right, I am so excited for this interview. Literally have chills, Robin Sharma. You are in my presence. And yeah, it's virtual presence, but it's okay because it's still so meaningful. And I just want to thank you so much for taking time for this podcast. I really do.
Thank you for your time, Lillian. It's great to be with you and to finally meet you.
I know, right? Like, we've been DMing back and forth. I have to tell my amazing audience, my amazing listeners, how I came across you and why I am so ecstatic to be talking, you know, with you right now and your message. And that is, I actually took a trip to Thailand. It was last year. It was in March. And when I was there, it was a really tough time that my husband had had with losing my father and then having to relocate my mother. And it was tough. And I went through, I would say, about 3 years of the hardest times of my life. Mm-hmm. I look back now, though, and there was many silver linings and blessings, and you've helped me see that as well. But when I was in Thailand, sure enough, my flight was delayed. There's the silver lining, because that made me go to the bookstore. And in the bookstore, I'm looking through all these books, and they're like, recommended, and really good. And then there was the must read. And it was your book that everybody talks about, right? The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. The title got me immediately. And I look at the book and I look at the back and I read and I'm like, wow, this is fascinating. So I went ahead and bought it, sat down. My husband was like, what did you get? I was like, I got this book. It's really intriguing to me already. He looks at the back. He goes, oh, I got to go get my own copy. So he got up, And then right then we started on our way to Chiang Mai, started reading your book. The path that you have led us on has been so amazing. And we've dived into this world of inspirational, motivational, trying to change ourselves, work on ourselves. But the amazing thing was you put it in such a different way, in a language that we really hadn't heard before, that it opened ourselves in a different, like I said, in a different light. So from that, now all of a sudden, I'm going into more of these motivational or inspirational, changing my heart set, my soul set, my mindset. You got me with all of this. And from that, now I'm working with Powerful You, and you have set me into, I'm doing a documentary now about all of this. And I have been doing your online course, and that's how we started DMing. So how does it feel to know like how much you have impacted people's lives?
Well, you know, I mean, it's such an interesting question, Lily. And I really don't spend a lot of time thinking about my impact. I mean, that's the most honest way I could answer it.
Really?
I just, as much as possible, I see myself as a humble servant. That's a term I learned when I stood about 2 years ago in Nelson Mandela's prison cell. And I mean, that was a moment that changed my life. A former ANC prisoner was giving me a tour. And I asked him, I said, did you know Nelson Mandela? And he said, yes, I knew Nelson Mandela. I served here on Robben Island with him for 8 years. And I asked him, I said, well, what was he like? And the first answer was that man, he said, oh, that man was a humble servant. Mm-hmm. And when I was growing up, my father, who's had a great influence on me, used to recite the words of a poet named Rabindranath Tagore. And my dad used to say, son, when you were born, you cried while the world rejoiced. He said, live your life in such a way that when you die, the world cries while you rejoice. So
beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to help as many people as possible. And I sort of think, Lillian, if I spend time thinking about my impact or thinking about likes or thinking about numbers, it takes my energy off focusing on my craft and making sure I'm helping people.
I'm actually glad you said that. And the reason I say that is because with this podcast, you know, I've had an amazing reaction of people saying, wow, the stories and everything that you're sharing and bringing the guests that you're bringing, they're changing my life. And so I'm like, this is incredible. I mean, for sure, it makes me feel good in the fact that I feel like I am serving, right? And that's what I want to do. I want to impact the world. But I do get a little bit like, okay, how do we get the show like to spread even more? And how do we get people to, you know, to tell their friends and make a bigger impact? And so I get caught up in the, we got to make sure that we just really get this out there and make Chasing Glory like, you know, huge. So I hear what you're saying now, like that's the wheel, right? That you get caught into.
Yeah, I mean, you're being so honest and I really appreciate it. And we all suffer from that. We all suffer. And it is a suffering. I mean, we suffer from, it's really coming from, am I enough, right? Do I have enough likes? Is it big enough? What would other people think? And all those kinds of things, I believe, are ego pursuits. I actually did a 60-second video clip on Instagram yesterday about this very point, which is, don't worry about fear of missing out. Don't worry about fear of not being enough. Don't worry about being liked. Make your focus the release of your magic. Because we live in a world right now, it's all about numbers. You know, do I have the right numbers? Yeah. Am I putting out enough content? And yet, I think it's much more important to stay in your own lane. Don't get caught up in what everyone else is doing. Nose to the grindstone and just release your own magic. And I think if you have the bravery to put out work you're so proud of that's bordering on magical, then everything takes care of itself. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, why does it even matter how many people are consuming it? Vincent Van Gogh, I mentioned him in the 5 a.m. Club, the new book. And yeah. one of the things I mentioned about him is, you know, he only sold one painting over the course of his lifetime.
That's true.
And yet he's revered as one of the great masters. So I think in many ways, it's about expressing your gifts and your talents in a way that makes you feel you're successful versus the world's needing to see you're successful, if that makes sense to you.
Absolutely makes sense. But sometimes the ego is screaming so loud that you can't hear the logic. So what do you do to quiet that ego?
Well, I think and by the way, I don't do motivation. You mentioned inspiration, motivation. I mean, you know, I think the reason I resist that term is I think motivation sounds light to me. You know, motivation sounds very short-lived. What?
True.
You know, the way I see my work, I teach leadership, but even deeper, I do my best to help people materialize the gifts and the talents they're born with. I do my best to help people determine what a great life really is. I do my best to give people tactics and tools that help them achieve creativity and productivity and prosperity for the benefit of humanity. So how do you prevent your ego from screaming? Well, that's a long journey, isn't it? I've been working on myself, and you know, these four interior empires I teach in the 5 a.m. club, everyone's talking about mindset. You hinted at the other three, right? I think everyone's talking about mindset. I think mindset's only 25% of the personal mastery equation. Because your mindset is just your psychology. Now, is that important? Absolutely. But you can have a great mindset, you know, read all the personal development books.
Yep.
But if your heart set, this new word I'm introducing in the 5 a.m. club, if that is a mess, in other words, if your emotional life is full of toxicity, if you're angry, if you're sad, if you're discouraged, if you're disappointed, then you could have the greatest mindset. You're never going to change the world. But it's not only mindset and heart set, it's health set, your third interior empire, because you need energy and vitality and longevity if you want to make your mighty mission, if you want to materialize it. But it's not only mindset, heart set, health set, it's soul set. And your listeners might go, Robin, you know, or Lillian, soul set doesn't apply to me. Well, I suggest it does, because your soul set is exactly what we're talking about. Working on your soul set is turning down the voice of your ego, which is just your scared self's voice, so you can actually hear your more truthful voice. Soul set is building intimacy and fluency with your higher nature, so that you understand at the core of every beating heart and inside every human being alive today is a hero, is a sense of primal genius, is a fortress of invincibility that no matter what's going on in your outer life, it's not going to shift it. And the more we can build that relationship with that primal hero and that sense of undefeatability that is the essence of every human being, the more we're not going to listen to that chattering voice of the ego, and we'll be able to stay true to the timeless truths of a great human being.
I love that. Now, Robin, I want to get to know you a little bit more, because I'm sure that people look at you and they go, God, this man's got all the answers. And I'm sure you're like, no, I don't. But you sound like you do, because you really are so insightful. You really do. But I mean, I've heard you talk about it, and I want you to go ahead and touch on it, how you were in law, you were a lawyer, your life there wasn't fulfilling. I would love for you to talk about that. But even you as a kid, who was Robin as a kid?
Sure. Well, I'm happy to answer all of that. The first thing I would say, though, is I don't have all the answers. I have a lot more answers than I did when I was 21 years old.
Yeah.
And I have been blessed to be helpful to a lot of people. But, you know, I think the very nature of the human journey is you're confused a lot of the time. And I believe that confusion is nothing more than growth coming to get you. So I think you get to live your life right? You get to live life for if you're on a true growth path as a leader and as a human being, then you're going to have these seasons where you think you know all the answers. And then if you're open, you're going to get to your next level of growth, which means you're going to be confused. Anyway, what was I? So yes, I was a lawyer. What was it like as a child? I was very curious as a child. I didn't really fit in with most people.
You didn't?
No, I'm an introvert at heart. I was always fascinated by the great women and men of the world. I loved reading. I loved art. I was always very creative. Spent a lot of time alone. And you're right, I became a lawyer. I was successful, but I was actually very empty. And that's another thing that I really focus a lot on in the 5 a.m. Club, which is success without soulfulness is an empty victory. Yeah. See, the media, the world is selling us these seductions about what you need to do to be successful, right? Get a lot of likes, make a lot of money, live in a beautiful home, have a beautiful partner, you know, have some nice cars, etc., and you're going to wake up feeling happy. Well, I've never experienced that. Now, are those things wrong? Absolutely not. Do they provide momentary or some sense of pleasure? Absolutely. I'd rather eat in a better restaurant than in a cheap restaurant. I'd rather fly well than, you know, be on a 14-hour flight cramped. There's no question.
Right.
And yet, if you're looking for bliss, if you're looking for inner peace, if you're looking for true joy, then in my experience, Lillian, it's never come from external things. So as a lawyer, I was making a lot of money and I'd had social status and all of those great things. And yet I wake up in the morning and I look in the bathroom mirror and there was an empty man looking back at me. And that's what set me about on this journey where I started studying how do the great ones do it? What are their belief systems? What are their emotional patterns? What are their daily routines? And I wrote that first book you mentioned at the beginning of our time together, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. It's become a very well-known book across the world, but I should share, it started off as a self-published book. I actually self-published it in a Kinko's copy shop.
Unbelievable.
Mom was my editor. My father helped me sell it at Rotary clubs. People laughed at me. They mocked at it. They thought the title was silly. They thought my first editor, I still have his letter framed. My first editor basically said the book was garbage and, you know.
Wow.
He just thought it was nothing anyone would ever read. And that's okay. We're all entitled to our own opinions. But the larger point, J.K. Rowling, who wrote Harry Potter, said it well. She said, for some to love you, some must loathe you.
Yeah.
And so we all know, you know this, all your listeners know this, but leadership is about believing in yourself when no one believes in, especially when no one believes in you. Real leadership is about having this glorious vision for your future that people around you disbelieve because it threatens them because it's so vivid, powerful, and magical. You know, you know your dream is a good dream when people say it's a foolish dream. And that's why there's a line in the new book, instinct is more powerful than intellect. You see, the intellect is just what's reasonable. The intellect is based on the books we've read and the education we have and what society says is possible. But all progress of humanity, all great art, all the great symphonies, all of the great architecture came from a woman or a man who did something that was unreasonable. And that's why we have to be possibilitarians. We have to be people who have the bravery and courage to go out there and say, you know what? My vision for my family or my health or my business or whatever it is, it's unreasonable. And the people, the energy vampires around me might think it's not going to happen, but I have to stay true to myself and I'm going to get it done.
And you've touched on something that, you know, I got programmed as a kid, and I know that my parents thought they were doing the right thing, where they were like, money is security, money is security, money is security. And it would be so hard for me to sometimes take risks because that required me getting outside of my comfort zone, spending more money and all of that. And that's something that I've been working on. And I'm sure there's people out there that think that way too. What would you address to people that think money is totally security?
Well, there's a whole bunch of interesting things. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of interesting things in what you just mentioned. The first thing I'd say is your parents basically taught them the mindsets and heart sets that were taught to them as children.
Right.
Okay, so people do the best they can do based on the level of consciousness they are at.
Yeah.
If your parents could have done better, they would have done better.
Absolutely.
So that's where forgiveness comes in.
Right.
Now about this, about money equals that belief you're working on, money equals security. I think money does equal security, but it sounds like that belief that was taught to you is coming from a place of scarcity.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like, you know, hold on to that paycheck because you might not know what tomorrow brings. And we all know that a great source of prosperity is generosity, not scarcity. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've built a number of businesses and what I've found is the more I give, the more I receive. So hoarding never breeds fortunes. And, you know, and I'll give you a very tactical example. You know, at our events or hopefully in the online course you're doing, I do my best to give a huge amount of value. Okay, so that's great to hear you say, well, that's a conscious thing that my team and I do. We try to give extraordinary value. We do are we perfect? Of course not. We try to give you a fantastic user experience. We try to wow you with the amount of value that we give. That's coming from a place of generosity. And I believe that, I believe in karma. In other words, what you put out comes back. But secondly, if I serve you really well through our products and services, Lillian, if I give you a great user experience, if I allow you to get to your dreams and transform your life, well, then you're just going to fall in love with our messaging and you're going to become a brand evangelist, which is exactly what you've done. So that comes from generosity. It doesn't come from scarcity.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. And what about those, though, that take it to the other extreme and now they're just overspending, their credit cards are maxed out, and they're just living above their means?
Well, I think we both know the answer to that. I think it's important to be a possibilitarian. It's important to dream. It's important to be generous, but it's also important to protect your home. It's important to be practical. You know, I think have a big heart and keep both feet on the ground at the same time. So people who are, and then again, there's an expression, right? There's many paths into the mansion of heaven. The reality is there are some people who max out their credit cards in hot pursuit of their new business idea. And somehow, they hit it big. We've heard those entrepreneurial stories as well. What works for me and what I share with my children, I've got two amazing children, Colby and Bianca, is I prefer quite a bit of a balanced approach. You know, like I take risks, but I also hedge those risks. So to answer your question as helpfully as possible, I'd say take hedged risks. You know, make sure you're not too conservative. And you go for your ambitions, but at the same time, do it intelligently with with downside protection, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's exactly what's been working for me. I've been taking more risks than usual, but not going to the extreme where I'm like so overwhelmed that I can't even breathe, because that's not good either, right? And or literally, I'll sometimes even look at something and go, do I really need this outfit? I mean, you know, there's a difference between need and want sometimes. And we go to the want a lot, and especially if we're doing it just to make ourselves feel good for the day or something, sometimes I'll hesitate. And I'll go, is this really going to make me feel good in the long run?
So. Well, that brings up, I suggest, another really important point, because
yeah,
there's a chapter in the 5 a.m. club where, as you know, it's about three characters, this billionaire tycoon, yes, who's teaching these two students. And the book is about the 5 a.m. club. It's a concept I've been teaching for 20 years to my billionaire level clients and top CEOs. And it involves the morning routine of the most productive people on the planet. And the foundation of the 5M Club is the 20-20-20 formula. We can get into it. But there is a section that I think is really relevant. You sort of touched on it. And it's really important, I believe, to understand why we want more dresses or more watches or more jackets or more cars. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest to you that what we really want is not the dress or the suit or the car or the jet or the social media numbers. What we really want is a feeling.
Exactly.
What we really want is a feeling of security.
Yeah.
We really want a feeling of waking up feeling joy, as simple as that sounds. We really want a feeling of peace. And we really want a feeling that we're okay with our place under the sun. And so what is this grasping and wanting that drives so many of us? I think it's because we have these holes inside of us.
Yeah.
These holes come from childhood. You know, we didn't get enough love, or we didn't get enough attention. We weren't told. We weren't validated, we weren't celebrated, we weren't encouraged in certain instances, or we weren't invited to a party when we were 7 years old, we got disappointed. And what happens as we leave the perfection and awe and wonder of childhood, we get hurt. And if we don't know how to heal these wounds, society actually says, don't feel. Society says, you know, positive, think your way out of these wounds. And so we end up with these subconscious holes that we try to fill through things. And I think I suggest that's a really important point, because a lot of us suffer from that trap. We think that if we buy more, if we have more, if we get the jet, if we become rich and famous, we're going to wake up in the morning and we're going to feel okay. Well, We know, look at all the celebrities who've killed themselves. Look at all the celebrities who are into drugs and whatever. If fame and fortune provided joy and inner peace, all the celebrities we watch wouldn't be falling into the toxic behaviors that they're falling into. So I just wanted to offer that point, that we have these holes and we try to medicate our way out of these holes by buying things, when the real answer is what I write about in the 5 a.m. Club. It's starting the process of working on those four interior empires: mindset, heartset, healthset, and soulset. And the best time to do that is 5 a.m. while the rest of the world is asleep.
Yes, and I've been getting up at 5 a.m. since the online course.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I've been doing it. And it is amazing. Can I just tell you, you know, you talk about five, and we'll talk about the 20-20-20 because I think it's so important. Well, you talk about between five and six, but I got to be honest with you. Like, I keep it going after six because I love it so much. It has become such an amazing way for me to experience my morning. It has changed everything, that I've talked about it even with my listeners for a while. Go ahead and express and talk about the 20-20-20.
Absolutely. Well, the starting point is really to remember that the way you begin your day sets up the way your whole day unfolds. Mm-hmm. And the period between 4 and 6 in the morning are the hours of greatest purity of your mind, your heart, and your soul.
Yeah.
And so that's why the great sages, the great artists, a lot of the great writers, a lot of the great military generals, a lot of the great humanitarians, a lot of the great industrialists, they had one ritual in common. They were members of the 5 a.m. club. Okay. Now, what do you do when you're up at 5? You don't watch the news. You don't check your, you don't check your email. You do not go to social media. What I propose people do, and I go into it in much more detail in the book, but high level, the 20-20-20 formula. It runs from 5 to 6. The first 20 minutes of the 20-20-20 formula is move. Why do you move? We could get into the neuroscience. I'll get into some of it right now because it's so powerful. If you get up and you just start running, or you start doing burpees, or you start sweating, what happens is you release BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which actually increases the processing ability of your brain. Cortisol, the fear hormone, is highest first thing in the morning. You reduce it. What's that worth to you? Dopamine, the inspirational neurotransmitter. We all need inspiration to build our monuments of mastery. That's released through exercise if you do it first thing in the morning. Serotonin, that's the pleasure, feel-good neurotransmitter. That's released through exercise. So just by exercising for 20 minutes, that first 20-minute pocket of the 20-20-20 formula, it's now 5:20. You've electrified your brain. Yeah. You've increased your metabolism. Your fat burning is like on fire, and it's only 5:20. Now, the second pocket, that's when you reflect in a world that doesn't really encourage us to reflect anymore.
Reflect, right?
Like, how many people take the time to think?
Yeah, but we're always on the go, 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 go. It's a little scary.
But what's the point of being busy, busy? What's the point of being busy around the wrong things? What's the point of spending the best hours of our best days climbing mountains only to realize at the end of our career or at the end of our life, we spent our life climbing the wrong ones? So 20 minutes from 5:20 to 5:40, you write in a journal. You write about your goals. You write about what you're learning. You write about who you want to become. Habit researchers, willpower researchers call these pre-commitment strategies. By writing even about what you want your day to look like, you actually lock in more self-discipline. Now it's 5:40. The final segment of the 20-20-20 formula is all about growth. So when I work with the billionaires, when I work with the great companies, when I coach the superstars, they all have one thing in common. They understand that growth is the price of fortune making. In other words, if you really want to win, it's about investing in your growth. So for 20 minutes, you listen to a podcast, you read a book, you study your journal notes, you watch an online video, but you do something to develop yourself as well as your skills. Because as you know, in business, the marketplace rewards the value that you create. People say right now, there's a lot of, the global economy is contracting. There's a lot of competition. Yeah, but my mom says it well, and you've heard it as well. The cream always rises to the top. So you want to be the best in the world at what you do. And then there's always going to be place for you. So that at a very high level is the 20-20-20 formula that you run from 5 to 6 during your victory hour.
I love that. Like I said, it's really been a game changer for me. What I also like that you introduced me to was the deconstructing your day. That was magical because we think about the things right in the morning, but then to really at the end of the day also be able to write down what worked today, what didn't necessarily work today, so that we can do more of what worked into the next day.
Awareness is the DNA of transformation, and clarity breeds mastery. So you're talking about taking some time at the end of your day to write in a journal about how you've lived. Well, that gives you greater awareness. If you look at the great F1 teams, if you look at the great superstars, They are Kobe Bryant, for example, Roger Federer, Serena Williams. They are massively aware of what they need to do to hit the ball in a certain way. They're massively aware of what they do on the days that they perform on their best. They are not superficial. They are granular. Lillian, I suggest to you, the great women and men of the world, the history makers, the empire builders, they're not superficial thinkers. They're incredibly granular. They have great awareness. So at the end of the day, doing what you're mentioning, deconstructing, here's why today was good. Here's what I can learn from it. If you do that every day, the next day becomes this flat, fresh platform for making your day even better. And small, I say this in the 5 a.m. club, one of the brain tattoos, small daily improvements when done consistently over time lead to stunning results. If you can make your mornings better, your days are going to be better. Consistently right. better days lead to consistently better weeks, better months, better years, a better lifetime.
Yeah, no, it absolutely makes sense. And it's already, like I said, it's proving in my life for sure. I have to ask, though, there's a lot of people that struggle, for example, with weight, and they yo-yo, I mean, constantly, right? And it's like they have all the intentions. And they can deconstruct their day and they can say, I had this intention today, but it didn't go well. What can I do the next day? And then sure enough, the next day comes around and they're doing the same thing. They get to, you know, the refrigerator or whatever it is. And I know in a way, yeah, you're feeding something. So, but what's, I don't know, Robin, there's so many people that are overweight. What is the answer to this?
Well, I'm no expert in weight or health, but I'll offer some insights. Having worked with a lot of different people, I'd say, first of all, it's what you were suggesting, which is it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you.
Yeah.
So that's why it's not just mindset. That second interior empire that I teach in the book is incredibly important. Heart set, working on your emotional life. There's so many books on positive thinking, and yet, if positive thinking alone worked, why are so many people struggling? So it's not only mindset, it's heart set, health set, and soul set. So I would say, first of all, have the bravery for anyone who's struggling with a health issue or weight to investigate your emotional life, to investigate what perhaps is the wound or the micro trauma or macro trauma that has created that hole that I talked about earlier that you're trying to fill with a medication called food. I think that's very profound. And then there's a lot of modalities, whether it's meditation, prayer, journaling, therapy, acupuncture, except there's so many emotional healing modalities that I would encourage your worldwide followers to explore. Second thing I'd say, no human being is perfect. I've yet to meet the perfect human being. If you get to the fridge and you eat the wrong food, get up the next morning, get back on the horse and try again. You know, there's a piece of research in the new book from University College London that says it takes 66 days of practicing a new habit before you install it to the point of automaticity. And I would just remember that. So I would encourage anyone who wants to make a transformation, get up at 5 a.m. I mean, I've been teaching this method for a long time. You've said yourself, it's been a game changer for you. So that's why I'm so passionate about it. The world is busy. We live in the age of dramatic distraction. 8 o'clock, you can't think. 9 o'clock, you're hitting the ground running. And a lot of us, we're overstimulated. 5 a.m., 66 days to wire in that habit. And you have at least an hour for yourself. What do you do during that time? That's a period during that 20-minute pocket I mentioned on reflection where you can actually start working on why you're overeating or why you're worrying too much or why you never seem to have enough money. But exterior empires, whether it's a health empire, a financial empire, an empire of impact, they all come from interior empires. You know, that's where I think the world is a little lost. It says if you get the right things and construct a gorgeous outer life, you're going to feel amazing. Well,
no.
You've experienced beauty on the outside. I've experienced, you know, beautiful things on the outside. It really never changed me. It's like, I think it was John Kabat-Zinn said, wherever you go, there you are.
There you are.
So, you know, if someone thinks, oh, if I had a few million or 10 million, or if I had a partner that looked like this or made me feel like this, everything would be okay. I think that's an illusion.
Yeah.
Everything will be okay when you make the time to start the journey of working on your four interior empires so you become healthy. So you have, like, the greatest relationship is not the relationship with money or fame or even the relationship with your husband, wife, boyfriend, and girlfriend. The greatest relationship, this is where it all starts, is the relationship with yourself. And when you build love and health and fluency and relatability with that relationship, so you honor yourself and you build intimacy with your glory. That's not motivation. We all have a glorious, noble, brave, loving, creative, vital core. It's been covered with layers of doubt and messaging, so we've forgotten it. You know, every human being on the planet has that. And all the great wisdom traditions say that. We have this source of luminosity deep within us that we've lost after we've left the perfection of childhood. And I write a lot about it in the 5M Club because I want people to remember, you don't have to be someone else. You just have to rebuild the relationship with who you once were before the world taught you to fear.
Ah, drop the mic. Seriously. That's beautiful, because I think that that's the thing, is we're so distracted. There's so many things on the outside that we're looking, that we're forgetting to look inside. And even if we do like ourselves, man, Robin, we're in a world that we're just constantly judged. You know, social media is constantly judging. One of the ways that I've protected myself from all of that is I will post and then basically I'm out. You know, I put the content that I feel that, you know, that I want to share with the world, but I really try to avoid going down the rabbit hole. Is that something pretty much that you do?
That is a really interesting question. We all know about social media depression. You were hinting at it, you know, like, and we all know now that what we're seeing on Instagram or what we're seeing on Twitter or Facebook, that's the highlight reel of what people want us to see. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen some of these, you know, influencers, and they're struggling so much, but you'd never be able to tell it by the beautiful pictures that they show.
Yeah.
So the reality is we're all struggling with something. We are all, the very nature of the human condition means you're going to have some areas of your life that are working and some, let's just say, opportunities for growth. How do I do it? Well, you know, Lillian, I've actually done what you've done, which is you post and then I'm out of there. And here's where I'm at right now. I actually think social media is an awesome tool. It's just a vicious god. And what I mean by that is, used with discernment and care, you know, I mean, you can build an empire with this little device. You can, how I use social media, I mean, I can create value for all the people who follow me. I can make their lives better, their businesses better. I can look at the direct messages. That's how I met you, via DM on Instagram. But, you know, the new book just came out, you know, relatively recently. I'm getting real-time feedback from people going, I just read this line. Here's what I thought. I just finished the last chapter. Here's what just happened. I can't get the book in this country. When will I get it? That is an incredible way to get feedback from your consumers. It's an incredible way to build relationships. You know, I the 5AM Club is growing into a movement. And how do you build a movement? Because I know you're in the business of movement making as well.
Yeah.
It's one relationship at a time.
Yeah.
And you can do that on social media.
Do you get stressed out sometimes? Because sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't set up. I don't know what to post today. Like I don't have the right picture or something. And then I'm like, okay, well then just don't post. And then the next day I'm like, I didn't post. Is that going to bring down my follower? I don't know. It's just like this constant thing that gets trapped.
That is so honest. Here's what I do. So I just came off this 3-week Asian book tour. And yeah. I was on fire. I think a creative life and a healthy life has seasons in the world and seasons in the wilderness. And you see a lot of people on social media, and it seems like there's a frenzy to post, a frenzy to grow your numbers. And it's exactly what you say. If I don't post, the algorithm's going to notice it, and I'm going to and my content's not going to get pushed out to all the people.
Got it.
And guess what? You know what? So what?
So what?
Here's how I look at it. It's like I haven't posted much in the past 2 days because I was out there for 3 weeks. I gave my best, and I'm now going into the wilderness, and I need to. There's a whole chapter in the 5AM Club that speaks to this. The model is the twin cycles of elite performance.
Right.
The great athletes, the great artists, the great business builders, they're not out in the world 24/7, 365. They are out in the world for seasons, and then they pull back and they refill their well. And so I haven't posted much the past few days. I probably might not post for another much for the next few days or the next few weeks because I'm reading, I'm taking walks in nature, I'm going to New York to have a really wonderful trip and hang out with my friends. And that's going to make my work better. It goes back to that video I posted yesterday on Instagram where I said, worry less about the quantity of your output and be much more dedicated to the passionate release of magic. And what I mean by that, Lillian, is I would rather do one fifth symphony. I'd rather do in my lifetime. I'd rather do one Sistine Chapel ceiling than 1,000 or 1,000,000 posts of average.
I love that. Wow. Robin, I know that you've got your schedule's crazy, so we're going to be wrapping this up, but I got two things to ask you. And the first one being, wow, I just totally went blank.
I'm
absorbing everything.
That's okay. I do the same thing as well. Don't worry. It's called being human.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. You mentioned, you touched on the fact that you were an introvert growing up and that you were picked on for it. Looking back, is there something that you would like to say to your younger self? Because there's a lot of people that are going to school and they're feeling the same way and they're being bullied. And, you know, I've had a few of my WWE superstars that turn around, they've said, I was introverted, and nobody would believe it because they're bigger than life now. What would you tell your younger self?
Well, sure. I don't think I mentioned I was picked on, but yes, I mentioned I was introverted and I didn't fit in. And what I would say, but your point about bullying is, I mean, there is a lot of bullying going on at many different levels, Lillian.
Yeah.
And I would just say I've learned, I'm a work in progress. I still continue to do my inner work every single day. Having said that, I'm good with myself. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to write the 5AM Club. I spent 4 years on that book. I put my heart and soul in the book.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to do that, but for the fact that I'm okay being alone. I'm okay.
So it set you up. It's a blessing.
It's the things that we don't accept about ourselves are the very gifts we've been born into. You know, the business builder who says, she says, I'm so impatient. I don't like that. Well, that impatience allowed you to build your empire.
Yeah.
The introvert who says, well, I'm not comfortable. Like for me, you know, like a cocktail party is the kiss of death. Yeah, but that has allowed me to be a good artist. So yeah. What I'm suggesting is we all have these gifts, but our gifts have downsides. We just have to manage the downsides. I think the larger point is a lot of the greatest producers, the greatest artists, the greatest business builders, the greatest wrestlers, my guess.
Yeah.
They have an ability to be public. I'm sure you've experienced this, maybe even you, Lillian. Mm-hmm. They can do it when they need to do it. Like I can get on a stage in front of 5,000 people and I've learned to be very comfortable.
Yes.
But it's not my nature. So what I'm trying to suggest is a lot of the people we admire are actually introverted. They just rise to the occasion, deliver their craft when they need to, and then they go back into being around the few people they're comfortable around. I mean, you know, I remember hearing about a Hollywood, a Las Vegas superstar. And before he went on stage, he just looked, you know, he just looked like very small and mm-hmm. frail. And then he got up on the stage and he was like genius level, rocked the audience, thunderous standing ovation. The lights went out. He went backstage and then he went back to being, you know, this small, quiet man. And a lot of celebrities and a lot of superstars are like that.
Yeah, no, definitely. So my final question to you, I like to ask is, because glory means something different to everyone. Your chase for glory, I mean, thinking back to you, your younger self, when you're looking, has it looked the way you thought it was going to look?
Oh, I would say, look, I've always been hungry to do something interesting. I've always had a fire in my belly. I mean, you know, I don't think I've ever shared this, but, you know, there used to be a job known as a milkman. And I...
yeah.
I'm glad this is your last question. So I don't think I've ever shared this. So I had a summer job when I was a milkman. And
wow.
I was a milkman. And even as a milkman, I wanted to be the best milkman in the neighborhood. So I would say I always wanted to do something interesting, Lillian, but I have had no idea it would look the way it does. And I think, you know, people often ask me, they say, Robin, how do you find your destiny? And what I believe is when you stay true to yourself and when you do the work on yourself and you trust your instinct versus follow the crowd,
yeah,
your destiny finds you.
Oh, I needed to hear that. You know, it's been one of these journeys that I've been on that I think I'm doing a little too much, you know, doing this and trying to do this and trying to do that. And it's how to be impactful, but still minimize when you can do a lot. Like I can sing, I can host, I can speak, I can do the podcast, social media, you know, so there's so many different things that it's knowing how to curtail that into something meaningful.
Well, I'm only going to say this because I want to be helpful to you. What destroys a great company is not too many great opportunities. What destroys a great company, I've worked with a lot of the Fortune 500 for over two decades. What destroys a great company is they try to seize every once in a lifetime opportunity. And it sounds to me, Lily, and I say this with, you know, a lot of love and respect, but it sounds like you're so good at so many things and you have so many opportunities and you're trying to seize all of them. And yeah. I know you're not doing this, but Confucius said it really well. Person who chases many rabbits catches none. So I do the same thing too. We all do, right? But
yeah.
I think it's really important to say, what's that one, maybe it's social platform, what's that one channel you're going to do, or what's that one skill that you want to be the best in the world at? And even if it looks like everyone else is chasing many things, you just stay focused on that one thing. And I've experienced that's playing the long game.
Yeah.
It's really, you're saying, here's what I want to do. And everyone's doing this and everyone's doing that. And everyone's doing all these different social platforms, and other people are writing books, and other people are singing, and other, and you just go, here's the one thing that feels truest to me, that brings me the most joy,
and
what feels right for me. And that's leadership, you know, takes a lot of courage.
I love that. I actually decided I was going to do an entire EP with my music, and I decided, you know what, just record one song right now. Just one song, put it out there, and don't worry about trying to do an entire album. And I think that that's been very helpful, and it's already alleviated a lot from my shoulders. Thank you, Robin. I really appreciate it. I'm actually looking forward to seeing you in June, because I will be there.
Oh, great.
Yes. Great. Yes. So
it's been a real pleasure. And if I may, I'd like to say, anyone who's interested in reading the 5AM Club,
yes,
the reports are, it's absolutely transformational.
Absolutely.
So thank you for validating that. It's an audio, it's available as an audiobook on Audible and iTunes. It's obviously a book. You can download it as an ebook. We know where to find it on Amazon, et cetera. It's in most good bookstores. I want to mention, if I may, at the end of the book, because a lot of books, the book is transformational, and then we fall off the wagon after a short period of time. So what I've done is, at the end of the book, there are details on a free, and I emphasize free, 66-day digital course where I mentor the people who've read the book on how to install the 5AM Club habit, and all the models, or a lot of the models and insights from the book. Again, there's no charge. The details on that free 66-day course are at the end of the book. And finally, a portion of my royalties goes to help children dealing with leprosy. This is for another conversation, but my dad told me, you know, it's a big issue in the world. And so when your followers read the 5AM Club, they're not only investing in their transformation and living a much more beautiful, prosperous, meaning life, they're also investing in helping a child dealing with a very difficult disease. So I just wanted to mention that.
No, I'm glad you did. Obviously, I was going to be bringing the 5AM Club, but we kind of sprinkled it out throughout the whole interview, and that's great. I love it. And I think it's even more than just, I knew you're pushing the 5AM Club, but people are going to get done with that. And it's like me, when I got done with The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, I started crying, and then literally was like, what do I do now? And then I found out you had all these other books. So I was like, yes. So even after you finish the 5AM Club, I tell people, go back and listen to The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. Your other book, A Leader Without a Title, I think everybody should read that, because I absolutely feel like it will help everybody who's at work, even if you're working for someone else, how you can be a leader at your job, even if you're a barista, you know, it doesn't matter. And so I'm just saying, there's a reason that you have sold over 15 million books. There's a reason that people are asking you to be on a podcast. There's all of this because you're magical, Robin. You really are. If you won't believe it, I'm just going to tell you.
Thank you. I'm going to save this recording, and I'm going to play it every morning.
I love it.
While I think about the fact that you made me talk about my days as a milkman. We're gonna have to delete that.
Nope, that's going. Hey, I used to sell vacuum cleaners door to door, so I've got one of those stories too.
Wow, brava to you on how far you've come as well.
Thanks. How do people follow you on social media?
Instagram at Robin Sharma. I love Instagram a lot, and Facebook. And Twitter and YouTube. I do a podcast on YouTube called The Mastery Sessions. It's Robin Sharma, RobinSharma. Anyone can find me.
Awesome. Thank you, Robin.
You're awesome. It was great. You have such great energy, and you're so wonderful. I appreciate the time, Lily.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Chasing Glory with Lillian Garcia.
Thank you so much for watching. Make sure you guys subscribe to this channel so that you don't miss a single video or a live stream. And definitely share this with a friend. All right, follow the show at Chasing Glory on Instagram, at Lillian Garcia on Instagram and Twitter, and Lillian Garcia official fan page on Facebook. For everything Chasing Glory, just go to chasingglory.com. Until next week, go out there and live with much peace, love, and passion. And remember, always be yourself and trust that it's enough. Mwah. See you guys. Bye.